Thank you for listening to the Alliance Church podcast. We desire to connect you with God and one another, whether here in Wisconsin or around the world. Let's listen into this week's message.
That's it. We didn't want to change it. We kept talking about what God was doing here through those three areas of core strong ministries, a heart for the community, a global vision. We wanted to double down on it. We didn't want to change it. So the best way we could describe it was, how do we multiply that? How do we multiply that in our partnerships locally, around the world, even launch whole congregations that have that DNA? And so that was the word, was multiply, and it was actually Pastor Brandon Hillstead who reminded us of Luke chapter 8. And in Luke 8, Jesus is telling a parable, and in that parable, it's about a farmer who's scattering seed. And the seed is this illustration or representation of the gospel, that Christ is the means by which people can be made right with God. And that the good news of the gospel is going out on different soils, and there's four different soils that this particular parable talks about. And three of them, the seed doesn't take root. There's either too many rocks or too shallow of soil or too many weeds, and it doesn't take root. But in Luke 8, verse 8, it says this. I think I've got it right here. Still other seed fell on fertile soil, good soil. The seed grew up and produced a crop that was 100 times as much as had been planted. That's it. I mean, we believe God is not done. And what I love about this verse is it so clearly conveys God's heart for results. He's not interested in wasting time. His heart for this church is to do a lot, to get a lot done, 100 times more than we can ask and imagine. And I'll be honest with you, when you think about where this church began in 1932, if we could get a time machine and bring those people back and put them in this room and talk about the vision, everything God's been up to, I guarantee you they would say it's well more than 100 times what they had in their minds. And that's true today. I mean, if we could fast forward to 100 years from now, it's going to be that too. It's going to be the same amount of exponential ministry. God is deeply concerned about results and producing and making things happen. But what I love about this passage is it shows God is deeply concerned about the kind of soil, the kind of people we are. It's not just about the numbers and about doing stuff. It's also about being good, fertile soil. And so our prayer began to be, Lord, would you make this church, would you make us a people who are good, fertile soil, who can be used by you to produce a crop, to do something incredible? And that word 100 shows up in another place in the story of this church. See, we're going to turn 100 years old in about 9 years, in 2032. So we began to ask the question, Lord, what do you want to do in this church? What do you want to see? What do you want for us between now and when we turn 100 years old? What do you want those things to be? And so you heard, we want to finish this location. We've got 7,000 square feet of unfinished space in this facility. You might not even know that. It's blocked off because it's not up to code yet. So it's above the Excel sports area up there. We want to finish the space. We want to get it done. We had to cut a bunch of classrooms when we built this room here, this sanctuary. We want to finish those classrooms, finish that space. We also got to make a long-term plan for Hortonville because we can't keep doing Easter Sundays the way we're doing them without breaking some fire code. So, and there's some firemen that go to the church that would remind us of that. So we got to come up with a plan there. We want to do something in Enid. The facility's been taking a little longer than we thought. I was hoping to be up here and announce that January we're launching, but took a little bit more time. But we feel confident October is going to be that launch date for November for Enid. Next October. And then Wrightstown. That is a fast-growing area that is a strategic part of this region, and I believe this church is called to be a team player with other churches and with other congregations we can launch for this whole region. And so that's the next one, is Wrightstown. And obviously online. I was making breakfast for our staff a couple weeks ago. It's the least I can do for these incredible leaders. I'm in there making bacon and eggs, and someone walks in right at 8:30 sharp, and she walks in, she goes, hey, this is my first day on staff today. And I was like, we do this every day. Every day we do this. And then I was like, oh, this is great. And she goes, yeah, I want to say thank you for your online ministry and making that a part of your vision. I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for that. So thank you. And my husband starts next week at this church too on staff. And we're here because of the ministry that God was doing through your online ministry during 2020. So God is at work. We baptized people who came to faith through that ministry. God can use even the internet to reach people. Isn't that wild? Through that little piece of glass back there, God can do it. And maybe he's even doing it through your life right now. But those things are all important for us to do. And when we think about, okay, when we step back and say, okay, they're done. It's our 100th birthday, and we've got thriving communities of faith and congregations in these different areas. What does that look like? Well, they're all unique first. Hortonville will not be like Wrightstown. Wrightstown will not be like Nina. By design, they shouldn't be. They're all going to be unique personalities. But they're going to be unique and intensely united around our mission to connect the world with God and one another. So what will that yield? What will be the case on our 100th birthday? Well, I just believe it'll be a radically changed part of this world. This whole Northeast Wisconsin corridor will be different. I think people who aren't even Christians will choose to live here, raise their kids here, work here, and play here, not because they're Christians, but because of the impact the local churches are having on this area. It's just so great. We're such a blessing. This is where they want to be. People will move here because of that. And the impact that the church is having, not just here, it'll go beyond around the world. So it looks like a region that's transformed, but a region of this country, little old Northeast Wisconsin, is changing the world. There's no question. That's not a half-court shot for God. That's doable. That's a layup for him. The question is this: what kind of soil are we going to be? So the way we're going to talk about this next section is, what will it take? Okay, that's the next section, is how will this happen? And the way we're going to talk about this, the best phrase I can use to describe it, is we're calling it the 100X commitment. And it's one step in three areas. Okay, the first is this. It begins in prayer. Listen, I believe this. If we give maybe financially to the vision, and we serve in the areas we need to serve, but we as a church do not pray, the deeper things of God, life transformation, marriages healed, people experiencing revival in their life and purpose and mission and people forgiving one another, those kind of things, those don't happen without the deeper things of God. That's God. That's supernatural. That happens with prayer. We have to pray. So you've got permission from me to not go to step 2 and 3 of this 100X commitment until you can commit to this one, to pray for one person for the next 2 years or until they come to know Christ. Pray for them for at least the next 2 years and invite your local church into that prayer. So here's what I'm going to ask you to do. Go to the website, our church website, and you're going to enter in a first name, just a first name only, or a first initial. Look, God knows exactly who they are. God knows who we're praying for. God knows who you're praying for. God knows their story better than you do. But invite your local church to battle with you on their behalf in prayer. So I'm going to ask you, the first step is to give us a name, first name only, or an initial of the first name, so that we can partner with you in prayer. The elders, the leaders, volunteers, this church can pray with you for someone that you love that does not know Jesus. Listen, I believe that Satan does not fear our budgets. He doesn't fear our budget. He does not fear our ministry strategies, but he is terrified. When God's people, in one spirit of agreement, go before the Lord, the Almighty God, and beseech him on behalf of someone who does not know him, that is terrifying to the enemy. And so we're gonna do this with you. We're gonna partner with you for one person. Just give us one name that we can be praying for with you. That's step one. Second thing is to serve. We don't just want to talk about our vision. We want to put hands and feet to it. And so this year we're gonna try something a little different. So we made a bunch of phone calls to couple dozen organizations and other churches in the Fox Cities here. And we called them and said, what do you need? And how many people do you need to do it? And we gathered up their needs and we made a commitment that the first weekend of November, You can count on Alliance Church sending you help, sending you some people to serve. And all together, it's 800 opportunities for 800 people to serve. So the first weekend of November, I'm asking you, go to the website, go stop by any of these little booths out here and sign up for one of those 800 spots. It sounds like a lot, but listen, if you get to know this church, if you're new here, I want you to know something. This church is good for it. These people step up, and they will do it with a smile on their face. So that's what we're going to do. We're not just going to talk about our vision this month. We're going to put hands and feet to it. We're not just going to pray. We're also going to go and do. And then lastly, I'm going to ask you to give. And this is something I know that you might have heard this before, but the last part of us as Christians to get saved is our wallet. I get that. It's the last part of us that become Christian. But the reality is God doesn't want to waste your money. He wants to use it for incredibly, eternally meaningful work. In fact, the only way you can really take your money with you after this life is over is if you invest it in something that's going to matter in heaven, something that's going to matter in eternity. So what I'm asking you to do is take one step. Just one step financially. And here's what that looks like for you. If you have never given at all to the church in any way, here's one step. I'm only asking for one step. I'm asking you to consider taking a step to give one time. Just once. If you've never given, give one time. If you've given sporadically or irregularly every so often, here's your step. Give regularly. Go from irregular to regular. The idea of subscribing to stuff is pretty normal. We subscribe to things that matter to us. You might subscribe to your insurance policy. That's kind of required sometimes. You kind of have to do that. But maybe Netflix or NFL Sunday Ticket, whatever. Now that it's on YouTube, you got to subscribe to YouTube, whatever. You subscribe to stuff that matter to you. If your local church is a blessing to you, if it's a blessing to your kids, you'll never regret. You'll never regret giving to something that's a blessing to you or your family. So go from irregular to regular. And if you're a regular giver, you give regularly, consider tithing. That's the idea of 10%. Live on 90, 10, and then give 10. That's a biblical concept. Jesus was a practicing Jew. He tithed. This is something that throughout God's people's life, he calls them to do, is 10%. So try that. And if you do 10%, your step is to just give a little extra, something beyond that God would put on your heart, whatever that is. But here's why I'm asking you to make it a step, is because I didn't get into this to be a fundraiser. I get into this to help people take steps in following Jesus. And I believe that there is always blessing across the border from obedience. It's never better to not obey the Lord. It's never like, yeah, you probably shouldn't obey this one. It's never better for you. It's always better for you to obey. There's always blessing across the border from obedience. And one thing is clear is that throughout Scripture, God wants you, every part of you, to be a part of what he is doing in this world. And a part of what he's doing in this world is the local church. That is the primary vehicle by which Jesus has chosen to build. He says, I will build this church, and that's the vehicle that will not stand against the gates of hell. And so if you're gonna give time, that's important. If you're gonna give prayer, that's important. But I'd encourage you to take a step toward giving even financially to what God's gonna do through you in this local church. Okay, so who must we become to do this? You see, as pastors and as leaders, we don't have just visions for what we're going to do, and we don't ask God for just the numbers and what he's going to accomplish and how he's going to grow things. We're also asking, Lord, what kind of people do you want us to be? Everything that we do flows out of who we are. And so when you think about good soil, what does it mean to be good soil? Well, if you're a farmer, if you have any kind of agrarian or agricultural background, you know that good soil is often made up of stuff that's kind of a mess. Not to be tacky or crass, but there are things that animals do that we take and we spread it all over the soil, right? To make it what? Rich. To make it good, to make it fertile. And that's the stuff that everyone else wants to get away from or throw away. But that's the stuff that makes good soil. You know, you even have maybe a pile of old food in your backyard that is so old, it is beyond dead. It's not just dead vegetables and rotten vegetables. It's beyond dead. It's decomposing, right? It's a compost pile. And what do you do with that? You put it on the soil. You know, this church is heritage. And our history here is to be good soil. Born in the Great Depression. What is that? In the eyes of the world? What's a Great Depression? Dirt, soil, useless, unproductive. This building was built and the loan was taken out for it in a time when no one was doing that stuff and during what was called the Great Recession. What do you and I call that? Soil, dirt. We launched our first new in-person physical gathering ever in the middle of what is called, or we called, the Great Pandemic. What would the world call that? Time of death. Soil. This church has a long history of being good soil. And so I'm asking us to do it again, to be good soil, and that this church, to do that, we have to be a church that runs toward the mess, runs toward the need, runs toward the things the world says is not important, maybe the stuff the world would rather not see or push into the sidelines, but this church runs right long, headlong into it. We have a long history here in the last decade plus when we open up registration for a retreat, a men's retreat or a women's retreat or an event. It fills up quickly. Some of you have been on the receiving end of not being able to get in. And we have a long history of, we have to kind of like tell people, okay, like the Christmas Eve service, we're going to do registration and pick the service you want and let us know what service you want. And it opens at noon today. And what happens? Boom, all these services fill up. And I love being a part of a church that is so quick to want to worship God. And we want to worship him. We want to gather and praise his name and be a part of what he's doing. I love that. But man, I want to be a part of a church that when registration opens up, to go and serve our neighbors, to give sacrificially, to pray for people who don't know Jesus, we break the internet. That registration just fills up so fast. Brings down servers. I want to be a part of a church that just, when there's an opportunity to run into the mess, this church says, be first. We fight to get out in front of that. Because that's what it means to be good soil, to bring the mess in. And I want to say this to close, and then we'll close with a song to reflect on this time. I want to talk to anyone in the room who's maybe visiting for the first time or not visiting for the first time, but your story right now is a mess. You're looking at your life, and this is the stuff you wouldn't choose. It's the stuff no one would choose. It's the stuff people want to throw out. It's the garbage. And maybe you're like, I'm giving God one last chance, Lord. This is your last chance. And I come to the service where the guy's talking up there about money. He's talking about giving. He's talking about some big vision that they want to do. And this is it, Lord. This is my one chance I'm giving you, and this is it. I just want to remind you this morning what this is all about. It's about the gospel. It's a seed. And it goes in to good soil. You know what good soil is? It might very well be exactly where your life is at, where you're not clinging to any weed. You're not clinging to any other rock. You got nothing. You're not grabbing on anything. You're just broken down. You're tilled up. And there's stuff in your life that is garbage that you wouldn't want. You wouldn't choose. But I just want you to know, this church, we need you here. We need those kind of people here because that's good soil. We want you to find a place here where it's safe to be a mess. Because the truth is this, we all have a part of our life right now, currently, that is a mess. We all do. We're all a mess at somewhere, someplace. And what happens with the gospel is when you let God have it, when you stop trying to hide it, when you bring it to God and you confess it and you let him see it and deal with it, he already knows it's there. When you let God have the mess, he puts a seed in there. And I'm telling you right now, You look at the next 10 years, the next 9 years, you want to be on our 100X year when this church turns 100. If you give God your life and you let him have your mess and you follow God, these next 9 years will be the best years of your life. They will not be the easiest. They will be the best. Your best year is the year that you give God everything. And so I'm inviting you this morning that if that's your story, if you're like, my life's a mess, I don't have anything, I got nothing, I just want to invite you right now to join the top of God's list for fertile soil to be used by him to do something 100 times over what you could even imagine. Why don't you stand as you're able? And I'm going to pray over you. I especially want to pray over the people right now who are in that place. And if you're not in that place right now, I just pray that you would join me, agree with me in spirit. Heavenly Father, in a room this size, there are people who came into service. Maybe, Lord, they were giving you one last shot. Maybe that is where they were. And they are hearing today that at the bottom of their pit, in their life's darkest hour, that they are now suddenly at the top of your list of a candidate to do something incredible, miraculous, 100 times what they've ever even had in their life before. Lord, I pray they would allow that gospel, the truth that Jesus, you're enough. I pray they would confess all the mess to you. They just confess it to you, even in their heart right now. They would let you have it. They would loosen their grip on it. And they would know, Lord, that you're the God who doesn't just deal with the mess and work in spite of it. Ready for this? Lord, we believe this. You use the mess. You actually use it to grow something beautiful. Lord, make us a church that pulls the mess in, that makes it safe to talk about it, makes it safe to confess it, because we know you, Jesus, the one who heals, the one who restores, the one who waters and brings the sun and grows the crop. Lord, would you do it again in this church? Would you make us fertile soil, and then would you, Lord, multiply it 100 times over for your name's sake? And in Jesus' name, God's people said, amen. Amen. Let's worship together.